What's up, everyone? This is the Hillside Ventures podcast. I'm Shivam Patel here with a very, very special guest, COO and CFO of Loeb NYC, Rich Vogel.
Thank you, Shivam. Rich Vogel, I'm an 87 graduate, majored in finance at UConn School of Business. In 2022, they were kind enough to give me an honorary doctorate, in large part because of the work I did with David Noble to get the Wirth Institute launched. I would tell you I am a huge fan of Greg Riley and Hillside Ventures. I'm an LP in Hillside, so I am rooting for you guys to do an amazing job. And in fact, Noah Sobel-Pressman, who started Hillside Ventures, works for one of my portfolio companies. So this is near and dear to my heart. I run now, along with my partner, Michael Loeb, a venture collective with about 22 portfolio companies and a shared services model of supporting them. We call that Loeb.NYC.
That's great. Thank you so much, Rich. And I very much appreciate you hopping on, spending some time to talk a little bit more about your experience and what you've been doing from UConn. Obviously, you're a UConn alum and, you know, go Huskies. I definitely want to get a little bit more background on that. But before we do, I think it would be really interesting to talk about what made you interested or kind of what pushed you into entrepreneurship in general. What was the environment that you grew up in?
Sure. No, that's a great question. And I think I got to where I am by learning what I was not meant to do, more than knowing what I was meant to do. And what I mean by that is, as a finance major coming out of the business school, I thought I wanted to work for a big company on Wall Street. I was certainly interested in making money, and that seemed like a good way. And I always thought that big companies offered a level of safety and security, the power of the company behind you and the knowledge that that company was likely not going to go out of business tomorrow. And my father was a company man, worked for the same firm for 25 years, and that seemed like a fit for me. But I was wrong and realized years later that there were really two things that drove me. And one was the ability to make a difference, a real difference, a big impact, the ability to see my work reflected in the numbers of a company. And the other was the ability to be directly rewarded for betting on myself and my contributions. And in big companies, you're really more vulnerable in the early stages of your career than you might think. For example, Citigroup today announced the elimination of several layers of management. They're trying to get lean and they're doing what they need to do to run a good business. But in that will be a bunch of very good, very talented employees who, for no fault of their own, find themselves without a job next week. And that vulnerability was a surprise to me. And the safety that I thought existed in big companies for the early parts of your career oftentimes don't. And I'm not lobbying against working for a big company by any means. I learned a great deal, and I think everyone can learn a great deal. But it is not the the safe career path that I at least thought I wanted. So it took me a little bit of understanding what I didn't like to end up loving entrepreneurship.
That's a great point. Figuring out different or trying different experiences definitely helps you figure out what you don't like. I feel like a lot of students nowadays, it's good for them to just try to experience as much as they can to kind of X things out as they go and figure out, hey, I don't really like this. I don't want to really continue it. And so they just try to do something else. And, you know, if they like something, you can double down on that and kind of continue forward and kind of continue to grow in that area.
I really agree with you. I really, really do. And sorry to interrupt, but I think, you know, as young people, we think we know what we want to do, and we think we know where we belong and where we fit in. And oftentimes we don't. So I think of every one of those steps, even if they're missteps, as a tremendous learning experience. And you are weeding out paths that that you may have thought were the right ones, but through experience, you find out they're not. And it was very valuable to me. I wouldn't have known as a senior coming out of school that entrepreneurship was going to be the thing that rang my bell and excited me and inspired me. I frankly had it wrong, and I didn't know myself well enough then to see it. And sometimes through the rearview mirror and the lens of time, you get a much more clear picture of what really drives you.
Very well said. I guess before we kind of dive into your experiences you've had that kind of led you to creating Loeb and partnering up with Michael, I think it'd be really beneficial for not only me selfishly, but also other UConn students or any other student listening in and hearing about your time at UConn and kind of going a little bit deeper on how this school has shaped you as a person, your personal growth, and your career growth.
Sure. No, happy to speak to that. I'm such a fan of the university. It was a very different place when I went to school, but what it did for me, and it still does today, was give me a very solid foundation across really all of the majors in the business school. I majored in finance, but I came out feeling very competent in marketing, very competent in accounting, in organizational behavior, and the rest of it. And I think as I look back on it, I would give you this advice and anybody else. The area of discipline that I took the most out of into my entrepreneurship phase was accounting, believe it or not. The ability to look at financial statements and have them tell you a story is something that many entrepreneurs don't have. And I think it makes it very difficult for them, or much more difficult, to be successful over time without that foundation. So what the school really did for me was give me tremendous foundation. We did not have things like the Worth Institute. We did not have Hillside Ventures. So I was short on some of those extracurriculars. But because it was a big university, I had to learn how to navigate and had to fight my own insecurities and, you know, develop a little more extroverted, you know, part of my personality that big schools really allow you to do. So in hindsight, it was just a marvelous experience. And I would say, you know, in all truth, the price value relationship at the University of Connecticut is pretty outstanding. As you know, college is wildly expensive these days, and the quality of the education and the experience up in stores, I think, was tremendous bang for the buck and continues to be. And while we don't often talk about it, I think it's very important for all of us.
Yeah, very well said on that respect as well. I mean, this school has definitely been one of the best decisions I've made, not only as a student, but just shaping my personal growth. I've changed a lot since I've been here, and I really don't see myself anywhere else. And yeah, again, with these different organizations like Hillside, like Worth, like UConn Consulting Group, different things of these natures have allowed me to, you know, be able to go to Loeb NYC and be an intern there and work in New York and have an amazing experience. And it's kind of interesting to see how UConn has changed throughout time.
Oh, it's amazing.
Allowed its students to grow and kind of let alumni like you give back in such a meaningful way to help set us up for success. I think, you know, I'm super grateful for it. I'm sure everyone else, all of my fellow Loeb interns are super grateful for it as well. And then everyone in Hillside being an LP in there and kind of providing your value and expertise there, hosting events at your house. It's been a great experience.
Well, I have to tell you, I really appreciate you saying that. And I've heard the same from a number of your contemporaries, and it means a great deal to me and alum like me to know that what we believe we're doing to help, you know, actually is making a difference on a very personal level. And hosting you all at my home was a privilege and an honor. we'll do that again. And it's been the case for many years that the interns we get out of Hillside and UConn and Worth are among the most talented young people that we're able to attract. So I know my relationship with the school has only gotten stronger and stronger. And I would, you know, shout out to Daigle Labs as well. And Ryan, you've got some, you know, truly impressive professors who care a great deal about your personal growth. So it's actually very heartening to hear that it's paying off and you feel that way.
Definitely. And I appreciate the shout out to Ryan. I will have him on the podcast pretty soon. But yeah, Ryan's been great. He gave us unforgettable experience, took us to a field mission in Ecuador and Peru, learned a ton there, talking to small business owners, talking to banks for partnerships. And really, it was just like a life-changing experience. Got to experience the culture, the different ways of living, and then being able to work on the business side. So that was definitely a very well way to apply kind of what we learn in the classroom, or what I've just learned by being around him. Or
that, no, that's great to hear. I'll give you my bumper sticker admiration for Ryan. He is a person with a unique ability to connect with people out of our regular environments. You know, the way he travels the world and the connections that he makes, and he has a gravitational pull about him, which is both comforting and inspiring. And I wish I could, you know, bottle that piece of personality, because it is very special. And being around it, trying to emulate that ability, I think it has made me better. And I think many people would say the same.
Definitely. Yeah. It's been inspiring to kind of see his journey throughout UConn and kind of how he's helped so many different students through research, which is something that he's trying to bring back in the sense of publishing tests, market tests, things of that nature, to actually bring back business as a science, an applied science, rather than just kind of being speculative or gut feeling in a sense.
That's very well said. Yeah. And foundational, you know, fundamental to commercializing some of the ideas that he's working on, you know, is the research component, and being able to, you know, take a business idea like that, talk to an investor and say, look at all the research, look at all of the cases that we have to prove the efficacy of what we're working on. That is a bridge to commercialization that is unique and I think beautiful.
Yeah, I guess like with that, with like aspects of how to commercialize different products or businesses, or even seeing a spark in someone, what is some things that you've looked for with your time investing and just kind of being in the entrepreneurial space?
I would tell you one of the more important things is the people that you put around you. And none of us become successful all by ourselves, you know, with no support and no help. And I think when you consider all the people you meet and the people you work on different projects with, gaining an understanding of complementary skills and finding people with those compliments and keeping them around you is really a tremendous advantage. And what we see in management teams that are successful are kind of X-men and women, you know, people who are functionally outstanding at, you know, one or two things, and then another person who's functionally outstanding at a few other things. And then the diversity of thought and the diversity of approach to problem solving. So when you put groups like that together at the top of companies, it is really, you know, it's this chemical reaction that is difficult to describe, but when you see it, you know it. And it's a tremendous accelerator. It's also very gratifying to work with people who you make better and people who make you better. And that's what I found in my partner. And that's what drew me to him. We've been together now 34 years, which is it's longer than I've been married to my wonderful wife. But some of the same components in a marriage you find in management teams, the ability to have different opinions and talk them out in a respectful way. You know, it's you don't always see eye to eye, but you need that. You need those different perspectives, and being able to have those interactions respectfully with people you care about and trust is a real gift. And I suggest we all remain open to finding people in our lives who fill out the balance that we're looking for.
Yeah, with Michael, I guess, I think it'd be great to just dive a little bit deeper into the story of how you guys met with your experiences, not only at Time Inc. and then Synapse Group and then, I guess, Loeb.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll give you the abridged version. As you know, the interns at Loeb.nyc, they get the extended version of the story, which is pretty funny. But the basics of it, when I was at Time Inc., which was a big publishing company, one of my philosophies in any big organization is to find the superstars. Find the superstars in the department or the area of work that you're doing, and try to figure out what makes them superstars. Why are they recognized as the best and the brightest at what they do? And in my time at Time Inc., there were three or four people who were acknowledged, you know, really by everybody as geniuses of one kind or another, great marketers or brilliant visionaries. And Michael was on that list. So he was one of the people that I tried to put myself around to pick up whatever I could. And it turned out we were both on the launch team for Entertainment Weekly magazine. I was working for him. He was running the consumer side. And I found in him someone who inspired me and really lit my brain on fire. If that makes any sense, when you get around people like that, like great professors. I mean, you know, Ryan's a good example and Greg's a good example. People who just make you come alive. So as I saw that in him, I quickly realized what a lot of other relationships are missing. And when you don't have that component, the difference in your desire and initiative and work ethic and everything changes. So I knew somewhere along the way that I wanted to be around him for a good long time. And it has ended up that way. And we're very lucky. But it starts with core values, I think, in any management team or partnership. The alignment of core values are central to trust. And the way you look at the world, the way you deal with intent, figuring out what the intent was of somebody else, those are all very qualitative things and psychologically rooted in all of us. And I found in Michael someone who had the same core values, the same principles I did, and we'd reached the same conclusions about those touchy-feely subjects. More often than not. And I think that's part of what makes it a great partnership.
I really like what you mentioned about marriage and it kind of being that sort of partnership between a management team or, you know, with Michael, being with him for this long, in business and through friendship as well. And like kind of with that, what have kind of been like the trials and tribulations throughout the journey that have really shown the test of time and like shown how strong your relationship is.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And I think there's a lesson in here that's applicable to many things. It is in the bad times, it is in the difficult times that we see the true nature of the people around us. And we also see the leadership skills of those people tested in bad times. So it's very easy when markets are good and business is going the right way and things are working, it's very easy, frankly, to be looked at as a good leader and a strong positive force and all that stuff. But it's in the downturns, it's in the tough times, it's when you can't find the answer and you're worried about how to make payroll next week. It's in those moments that we really understand the character of the people around us and ourselves. So I would tell you, in our darkest times, in our darkest moments, those were the foundation of how close the relationship is today. You know, how do you work through that stuff? You know, those are times when trust becomes essential, and it's very easy to give up when things look very bleak. And I've said this to you, I know, and other Hillside folks before, but being an entrepreneur is a very lonely place an awful lot of the time, because we don't know the right answers. You know, we have conviction and we have beliefs, but we don't know. And, you know, having your investor base, your venture capital investors or your private equity investors around the boardroom table with you, they don't really understand kind of the depths of that loneliness or that despair when you're searching for the answers, you know, and you haven't found them yet, and you've got to keep going and you have to have faith. And I would tell you, that's probably one of the most important words in the answer to your question. You know, faith and belief in each other and the business, you know, the thesis of your business will get you through it. You'll either succeed or you'll fail. But without that faith in those times when the answers are not obvious, that's where the strength comes from. That's where the bonds come from. And for me, that's where most of the learning happens when we're dealing with other people. And they could be clients, they could be vendors, they could be partners, they could be employees, they could be your board members, but everyone is a nice person when things are great, you know, but not everyone can maintain the right, you know, the right mentality when it's time to be scared. And that's I think, when we learn the most.
Definitely. And with that experience and that perspective, how has that been shaped through your experience on the trading floor and realizing, you know, that's probably not the direction I want to go, kind of working for like a bigger corporation?
No. It's a great question. I'll tell you what I took away. The positive thing I took away from my time on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and that is the ability to forget quickly. It's almost an amnesia. If you want to be a great trader, you have to be able to forget about a bad day or a bad trade very, very quickly. And you got to come to work the next day believing that your positions are absolutely right and your beliefs are absolutely right. And, you know, your faith hasn't been shaken and all of that. That's an important lesson, because we have to move through our failures and take something away from them, and they can't dominate us. But for me, I found that, you know, moving money around, which, you know, essentially is what trading is, right? I'm trying to get a client a little better price on a buy order or a sell order. For me, that was not particularly fulfilling. And that's not to say that trading is not a great profession for the right kind of person. It really is. But I felt like I was missing something. I was just moving money around. I wasn't creating a product or a service that I could point to. And it, for me, it lacked a little bit. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, very early I decided that was not going to make me happy on the inside for very long.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, do you think that this was a decision in your journey that kind of changed the trajectory? It was, oh, I don't really think this is a good fit for me. I want to do something else. Like, was that something you learned while you were doing it on the job or after?
For sure. Well, you know, the reason my career on Wall Street per se ended was because the market crash of 1987 killed my company. And I got laid off with 8,000 other people who worked for that firm. And that was a decision point for me, right? I could keep looking on Wall Street for something else. I could stick with the path, but it almost gave me a freedom to consider something else entirely that I had never thought about. And I was lucky enough to, you know, to find a job in consumer marketing at Time Inc. that really floated my boat. But, you know, had I not been slapped in the face or punched in the nose or found myself standing on the unemployment line to pick up, you know, $150 unemployment check, I would not have thought about publishing or marketing or direct to consumer businesses as a path for me. So a lot of times, you know, what we don't see coming creates a certain serendipity that is very valuable later on when we look back.
For sure. That concludes a lot of, I just have a really interesting question, so to say. Listened to one of Noah Friedman's podcasts from Uncharted, talking with Michael, actually, and he got his thoughts on higher education and kind of that realm of things. And considering you have your MBA from NYU, wanted to get your take on the things. Like, was it a game changer, especially at the time that you got it? Kind of like, what are your thoughts on getting an MBA now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I had no choice. It was part of the training program that I was hired into. So 4 nights a week, I would go from the floor of the stock exchange to class and take 2 classes a night for 4 nights a week. I would tell you today, the advice I give young people is that, first of all, the degree was not a game changer for me. I felt like I had a good enough foundation, and I don't think it unlocked any doors. It didn't open any doors. It didn't unlock any rooms for me that wouldn't have been otherwise. But what is valuable about the degree today, more than anything else, I believe, is the opportunity to network through that education. So if you're going to take 2 years off and go to Stanford or Harvard or any place else, the people you meet and the conversations that you'll have, that's to me just about more important than the learning, because I've got to tell you, there are great classes online. There's a million ways to round out the areas that you think you might be deficient in. If you need a little more accounting to feel comfortable with accounting, or a little more advanced finance to be comfortable with derivative trading, whatever it is, you can get that in any number of ways. So I think, you know, the value in the degree these days is who you meet and the experience more than the education. So for some people, there's a moment in their life and their career when that can be a marvelous decision and open up things that they wouldn't have otherwise thought of. But for those of us who are looking to just get proficient at something we think we're missing, I'm not sure that degree, frankly, is worth it. And I know when we hire, I have never cared whether I hire someone with an MBA or not. It has always been the person and their accomplishments. So I don't know if I'm alone in this opinion, but I don't think it's a game-changing degree these days. There are lots of ways to fill out your weak spots, which we should always look to do, right? We should always look to be better.
For sure. I appreciate that answer and your insight on kind of how you've looked at it after having an MBA for for a little bit now. So yeah, with that, I guess, is there any last parting advice that you have for the audience, any students out there, any perspective people looking into Loeb?
Sure. Well, I'll frame it up in the form of a deal, because obviously Hillside is about doing deals. So I am available to anyone in Hillside, anyone at Worth who wants to meet with me, who wants to jump on a Zoom with me, wants to have a conversation, wants to come to the office. I don't believe I've ever turned down a meeting or not responded to outreach of that kind. And I only ask, you know, one thing in return, and that is 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, when you are successful and so busy, you don't have time for anything else. You can't find time to go to the bathroom. You are just overrun with work. There will be a student who will reach out to you and ask for a conversation, or a family friend who wants a little mentoring. And all I ask is that you do the same. You take that phone call, you have that conversation, and you give back in that way, because this is part of the special UConn community for sure. But you know, the advice that we can impart, because we've made every mistake in the book, you know, I want to share that with people, so you don't have to, and you're going to run through the same cycle. So be kind when you look behind, right? And try to pay it forward and lift people up when you're in a position to do so. I always, you know, said to myself coming up that I never wanted to be so important that I wouldn't help somebody get a job or answer a career question or just vent about a decision or situation. I think it's so important for us to give back that way. So I will take any meeting as long as you promise to take one 10 or 15 years from now.
Thank you, Rich. That was amazingly said. And I hope that people take advantage of that. They can learn from your experience, your wisdom. And to be honest, I've learned so much from you, even though it's only been a couple of times that we've been able to meet. I think it's been great listening to your insight, your advice, based on everything that you've been through. And again, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure. Audience, if you have any questions or ideas, please feel free to reach out. You can stay updated with us through the podcast, our newsletter, and our social media at Hillside Ventures. But with that, we appreciate your time and listening to the Hillside Ventures podcast. This was Shivam Patel here with Rich, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.